Come on, open your mouth, open your voice right now and pray him. Just love him for a little bit. Tell him about how good he's been to you. I bless your name, oh God. I worship you, oh God. Hallelujah. Come on, has God been good to you? I want you to just stop for a minute, begin to count your blessings, and begin to tell God how thankful you are and how good he is. Would you do that right now? Would you begin to lift up your heart and your voice? Hallelujah. God, you've been so good. Hallelujah, God, mighty God, you're our provision. You're our healer, oh God. You're my way maker when there was no way. You're my great deliverance, my great deliverer. You're my savior. You've cleansed my sins, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Precious, wonderful presence of God in the house tonight. And we're so thankful and so blessed. Had a wonderful single mom's luncheon this afternoon. Brother and Sister Blash ministered there and did a wonderful, wonderful job. And appreciate Sister Shirley and Sister Dakota and all of those that were involved in the prep for that. And Sister Vita and Katie with the decoration did a beautiful, beautiful job with that. Praise God. And for those of you that were in Sunday school this morning, we're really thankful to Sister Pam for the wonderful coordination work that she does for the marriage retreat this past weekend. Every year she does that, does a great job. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You can be seated for a second. We're going to be back on our feet here in a minute, but this is a wonderful thing God's allowed us to be a part of. This is a supernatural thing. And with anything in life, and as is our nature, anything can become common. The most precious person that you've ever met in your life, you can just become dulled with overexposure and forget the magic and the wonder of that husband or that wife, those children. But that's why it's so good for us to go back every day and in our prayers reinvestigate and reaffirm how precious and wonderful they are. You come out of prayer feeling like you want to get a hug from everybody that's important to you in your life. And like in the service tonight, these are supernatural moments. These are incredible moments. But it's hard to stay at that heightened sense of awareness. We just do it. We get in the traces and we worship and we pray and it's wonderful. And it's at a good, healthy level all the time. But sometimes it just hits you like, this is the most amazing thing in the whole world. Praise God. I want to be a little bit discreet, not too discreet, but a little discreet. Ashley had a encounter with a gentleman this week and began to answer questions that he began to ask her. And it came around to God and church and faith. And he's an experienced minister with authority in a wide-ranging group of ministers and churches. And he had made some assumptions about how things were socially and culturally in churches, and that's just the way people wanted it and just the way that it was going to be. But she was able to tell him, it's not that way in my church. It's not that way where I worship. And before she left work that day, he was listening in on one of the archive messages here from the website. And just everywhere we go, there's a door, there's a way, there's a place to talk about this and the wonder of it. And one of the ways that you can, not only in prayer, re-enliven all of this, but as you testify, there's something supernatural about your testimony. And as you break it out and begin to shine it up and use it again and testify again, this thing becomes alive and wonderful and anointed for you again. something beautiful happened right down in this altar area this morning. Brother Jasper had a friend here. Brother Jasper, you want to tell about this? It's your story. You tell it. You tell it better than I would. Yeah.
I want to hear myself talk.
Oh, tell the story.
Praise the Lord, church. So I had a deaf friend of mine that I went to high school with at the deaf school in Talladega. She started watching some of my videos that I post on Facebook during the Bible studies, and everything that I do on Facebook, the Facebook Live, the Bible studies. And so she started becoming interested in what I was talking about. She had never experienced this before. She had grew up in a Baptist church, a deaf Baptist church in Oxford, Alabama. And she was very interested in what I was talking about. And she says, that's everything, that goes against everything my preacher's ever taught me. And so I was like, well, the Bible, I don't care what your preacher taught you. I care what the Bible says. And she was very open. She was very accepting to what I was saying. But she's been making plans for the last maybe a month, 2 months, trying to figure out a schedule so she could come to church, because she wanted to see, what is this big deal that we're always talking about in church? Why am I always posting all these revival, all these preachers that are coming, all these events, special events that we're having? She was like, you're always talking about church. Always talking about church. It's a good church. Come on, let's do it. And so she finally texted me last week, and she was like, hey, I want to come to your church this weekend. And so I was able to coordinate it with Kayla. We were able to get her to church because she lives about an hour away. But I was able to get her to church. She was here. She came to church this morning. And she was, of course, she was very, what's the word, shocked about what we were doing up here in the front. But I explained it to her in the Bible. I explained it to her, this is how David did it. And she was very open. She was like, nobody's ever taught me that. And I was like, yeah, well, it's there. You know, I can show it to you. And then Stephen came up with exhortation, and he started talking about it. And so the scripture came up on the screen, and she read it for herself. And she was like, the Bible actually says that. Said, yep, the Bible actually says that. She was like, wow, I never knew that. I was like, well, now you do. And so she started kind of getting a vibe for it. She started rocking back and forth, clapping her hand, but she never really opened up. But she saw everybody else doing it. She was very interested in it. But at the end of the sermon, you know, she saw everything come to a conclusion, and she just decided, me and Joy were talking to her, and she just decided that she sees what's going on, and she feels something inside of her, and she wants more of it. And so we were like, well, I'll get some women together. We'll come over here. We'll pray with you, and we'll show you what we got. And so she was like, yeah, I mean, it took a little bit of convincing, because she thought everybody was going to be like, no, nobody wants to pray with me. But everybody wanted to pray with her. And as soon as she saw Joy leave and get those other girls, and she saw, I think it was Ashley and Jill and everybody, and they instantly put down what they were doing and turned around and started walking to her. And she was like, they were busy. It's like, they're not anymore. They're coming to pray with you. And she was like, that is awesome. That is so nice. And I was like, yep, we'll stay here all night and pray with you. And she was like, okay, cool, cool. And so we came over here, and we walked her through the book of Acts, through Acts 2:38, what she needed to do. Told her to lift her hands, to give praise unto God, to repent of your sins. And she was like, okay, okay. So she started praying. And I backed off, let the ladies pray with her. And she just started praying, she started feeling something, but she got nervous, she got real scared, and she stopped real quick. And I asked what was wrong. She was like, I felt something, but I don't know what it was. And I was like, well, you want to keep praying? She was like, yeah, I want to keep praying. And I was like, why'd you stop? And she was like, I don't know, it's scary. And so I was like, okay. And y'all got to understand, she was signing all this. She wasn't talking. She's non-verbal. But I kept telling her, you got to use your voice. You got to use your voice. And the second time, she kept praying. And then we stopped again, because she started noticing everybody leaving. And that made her really nervous. She thought everybody was going to start watching her. But I asked her how she felt. Well, Ashley asked her how she felt. And she said, I feel good. I feel something inside. And I was like, what does it feel like? She was like breath, like wind. Well, let me show you Acts 2:32. Chapter 2 right now, and we'll talk about what it describes the Holy Ghost filling as. It comes in like a mighty rushing wind. And she was amazed by it, and she wants to come back in the next couple of weeks to experience it again, to see if she can pray through and get the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. This is somebody with an entirely different life experience, no theological basis at all. And she's there, and with her limited power to communicate, she said, "This feels like wind. This feels like breath coming into me." Hallelujah, hallelujah. It filled all the house where they were sitting. It was like a mighty rushing wind. My God. Praise God. God can get in anywhere. It doesn't matter if it's a hearing or a non-hearing person. I've seen people get the Holy Ghost in maximum security prisons. You can put them behind 20 doors and solid steel and carcetino wire, but you can't keep the Holy Ghost out. You can't keep God out. Praise God. He's like wind. Praise God. Praise God. Brother and Sister Blash, we love you and we appreciate you, and we're so glad that you're here, that you've been able to take a weekend for us out of your busy, busy schedule. Brother Blash is a pastor, and he runs a clinical practice, and now he's the vice dean of diversity and inclusion at St. Louis University at the medical school. And goodness, he's such a sluggard. He's such a lazy bum. But we're so thankful that you had a weekend for us. I want you to come and just whatever the Holy Ghost tells you. It's that kind of night. It's that kind of service. Whatever the Holy Ghost tells you, that's what we want. Anybody here want to just hear from God tonight? Hey.
Oh, would you stand with me and would you give God praise? He's so worthy. He is so worthy. What a beautiful weekend and so many experiences. You can be seated for a few moments while I say thank you to everyone. Hallelujah. And I want to testify too. Amen. God is good. He is good to us. I felt that wind today too. Hallelujah. I recognized it and it felt good. Amen. What a beautiful word. I'm going to take that home with me. I think that when ministering works well, it's really an iron that sharpens iron, so that we leave sharper and hopefully you leave sharper, and our experience interacting with one another provokes us to the things of God and towards encouragement, and that there can be healing and there can be all these things happening as we're worshiping, as we're teaching and preaching or having food together or whatever it is. And that's awesome, and that's what it's been like. And so thank you for making that happen. Sister Blash, you've had a chance to greet these. You want to say something, anything? Nope. She's like, nope, you got it. All right, praise God. Well, the IQ of the message just went down, but it's still there. I'm glad she got to travel with me. That does not always happen, but thank God that she was able to travel with me. And so, again, thank you so much for your hospitality. Today, I was with a special group of ladies, and that was such a privilege. It was such an honor to get to talk to that group of ladies, and it was amazing, really. I've been to banquets that were put on at some of the highest levels of work and sometimes even places in government, and it just didn't look any better than that room. It was just so special, and it was just perfect, really. It was perfect. Perfect. And so thank you for just doing everything with such excellence. The testimony, and this is just me talking, right? Pastor said just go that way, and so I'm just going to follow the wind a little bit. This morning, several of you have come and just shared tidbits about the message this morning, things that were very special to you. But I was talking to God about the message, and just this gives you an idea of what's happening behind the scenes. I'm like, God, what do you want me to say? because I've got a lot of thoughts, a lot of ideas, and the Lord's speaking to me. And to be very honest with you, I said, God, that's a very simple message. I can say something more complex than that. That was my conversation with God. And he was like, I was like, just kidding. Just kidding. You are God. And Lord, I'm going to try my best to say exactly what you want me to say and then stop talking. And the testimonies I've heard in response have said that was the right thing to do. And who needed to be touched was touched. And what needed to happen, happened. And I do thank God for his spirit that moves us and guides us. And I'm going to follow that again tonight. Is that all right? Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. I got amen from everywhere. Praise God. This morning we're baptizing folks. Somebody got baptized over there. It was like I was about 10 minutes into the message and I heard this explosive roar and I thought, yes, Lord, I'm doing really good. I'm kidding. It was coming from over there, and it was the excitement and the praise and the prayer of people, and that's beautiful. That is beautiful. I just pray that my loved ones that are lost, if they ever happen to stumble into an apostolic church, that someone can witness to them, talk to them, sense their need, and take care of it right then and there. Amen. My loved ones who are lost, I pray they stumble around about this church. You guys are going to bear them in the name of Jesus. And I got a lot of them that I could send to you. Praise God. The book of Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. This is the second service I've been in the last 6 months where God instructed me to say a few things and then to allow those things to sink in and allow you to wrestle with them. The first service I was in like that, it was just incredible because I never got a chance to speak in whoever was leading or the music or just the response, the Spirit of the Lord moved in and did the work that was on the list. It was number one on my list. And so I just went check. And then number two happened. I mean, someone said almost verbatim what God told me to say. And the people responded in a way that I really hoped they would had I said it. And so I went check. And check, and all but one was checked, and I spent a few moments preaching about that one thing, and that happened again here tonight. And I'm thinking, yes, Lord, that's good confirmation. And so I'm going to follow the Holy Ghost, but I may skip around a little bit because there's no reason for me to repeat what God's already said. There's just one thing I do want to say to you that's really important, and I'm going to try and preach that just this few moments with you. Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 13. Joshua 24 and 13. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and oliveyards which ye planted not. Do you eat? I just want a show of hands, and don't just do this out of habit, but really think about it. How many have walked in a blessing that you know you didn't earn, but somebody else had created the environment for you, and you walked in? Look around, almost every hand. And that's beautiful. I was at a conference some months ago, and I was a youth conference, and Jesus bless all I'm going to say in Jesus' name. You can be seated there. And I was at a youth conference, and it was interesting because I was surprised they asked me to speak a youth conference. My time for speaking those conferences had kind of elapsed, so I wasn't sure I had the energy to keep up with those kids. But I agreed to go and preach, and in that particular meeting, one of our Bible colleges, I guess, was going to sing, and it sent a small entourage of 20 and 19-year-olds and 21-year-olds who were just rambunctious. And after they stopped singing, so they were no longer on offense, they just went to La La Land, and they kind of gathered in an area, and they were chit-chatting amongst each other. Now, the younger children were watching this, and so the older children should have known better. I let that go on for about 5 minutes, and finally I looked over and said, "You all know better. You should pay attention." And that whole group just kind of got right with God suddenly. And so I thought, you see, this is awkward. This is why I shouldn't be here preaching, because a younger, smarter preacher will let that go. But I wasn't going to let it go more than it had already gone. And so they actually engaged, which was encouraging to me. And the message went forth. And afterwards, there was a time for prayer, and folks responded. And I began to pray for people, and other ministers did the same. And I was praying for folks. And as I'm praying for folks, there's an opportunity for an impartation. There really is that something that was moving in the Holy Ghost. And there was great faith. And I laid my hands on this young girl who was maybe 14. And I felt a depth that was just enormous. And as a matter of fact, I felt a depth that would be equal maybe to someone that was 3, 4, 5, 6 times her age. I mean, she had the depth of an elder that I was praying for her. And so I had my eyes closed as I'm praying for the folks. And so I had my eyes closed as I'm praying for her. And I'm feeling such a depth and a calling and anointing. And I'm curious now. And I open my eyes and I see who it is. And it's the granddaughter of one of the great, great ministers in our region. Mighty, mighty man of God, and his granddaughter. And something from grandpa to the parents, to that girl, something was available to her that was very deep. And she had the ability to eat from vineyards and olive yards that she did not plant. She didn't earn that anointing. It was just kind of somehow or another, it was in her her lineage that it was there. And she had the ability to tap into it. Maybe she had watched her grandfather operate in the spirit. I'm quite sure of that. I'm also quite sure that she had been in the presence of God in some mighty moves of God. But I was just definitely sure that whatever I was feeling, she didn't earn that. Yeah. We've walked in, and maybe even tonight that happened to you. You've walked into a place where somebody else has paid the price for this atmosphere. And man, it's nice to do that and to take advantage of that. And if you're taking advantage of it, I say thank God. You also ought to thank an elder or two, because somebody paid the price for this. Do you see? You see where I'm going? Your pastor stood up here and he began to talk about not taking this for granted and how this is supernatural. He was saying, "You see why I checked that box off?" But somebody paid the price for this, and we owe them a debt of gratitude. This is why I'm not afraid to preach the name of Jesus, because somebody preached it before me, and I owe it to that generation to keep preaching that there is salvation in the name of Jesus. I didn't start preaching this. Somebody preached it to me. I ate from that vineyard that I didn't plant. Man, oh man. When I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I had nothing to do with the atmosphere that was created. I didn't fast one time. I didn't fast one meal. I didn't pray one prayer. I simply walked into a building where other people had prayed and other people had fasted. I didn't study for the message. I simply walked into the building where the man of God had spent time in the Word of God and with the presence of God, and he had built something that I simply got to enjoy the fruit of it. And I'm thankful for that. I am. Well, I've got good news for you, but mostly I've got troubling news for you. I guess the good news is, if the troubling news causes you great anxiety or deep depression, I can help you with that. But there comes a time when you are the planter. You know, All the fun comes in the picking and the eating. But I'm telling you, there's some people in this building, and you're the planter. This is your season to plant. You may only know what it feels like to consume. Brother, your testimony is, it's lit a fire in me. If there wasn't one before, there is one there now. Because that's what happens when people come in and they can consume. But I'm trying to talk to someone right now, and rather you realize it or not, for you, this is planting season. Yeah, you see, when you consume it, you can consume it in a crowd. You can consume it with the energy of the group. But when you're planting it, sometimes you feel like you're all by yourself planting it. And I'm telling you, if you're in a season of planting, you go ahead and plant it, and you plant it good. There's coming a day somebody's going to be thankful that you planted that vineyard. What am I trying to say? If you're the only person in the prayer room and you're discouraged, don't get discouraged. You're planting. You're planting a seed. It's going to grow one day, and one day that whole place is going to be packed with prayer warriors, and the power of God is going to flow through it. But in the meantime, you might be by yourself planting. Somebody's going to reap from the vineyard they didn't plant, but that's only possible if somebody else will do the planting. Thank God for the elders, but now it's my time to plant. Oh, God, help us. What does it look like? What does it look like? It's ugly. It's dirty work. Planting is when you don't feel like coming to church and you've got a couple legitimate excuses to stay home. You decide, you know what? I'm going to push past this flesh, and I'm going to go to church. But then after you've conquered the flesh, the devil comes, and he provides spiritual opposition. Now you've got to deal with your own flesh, and you've got to deal with spiritual opposition. And so you conquer your own flesh, and then on top of it, you tackle the things in the spirit world, and you begin rebuke that devourer who's trying to keep you from a blessing, and you fight it, and you fight it, and you drag yourself into this building, and you're planting. That's what it looks like. I wish I could tell you that planting happens when you're at your very best and you're most encouraged. I'm here to tell you it's probably quite the opposite. It's when you're discouraged. It's when you're questioning God. It's when you're in that decision mode that you decide, you know what? I'm going to make up my mind. I'm going to make sure the devil knows where I'm coming from. I'm going to come to church, and I'm going to give God everything I have. And I might not feel it, but I'm telling you, one day somebody is going to reap the benefits of this thing. Can I be bold and tell you, you can't really be thankful for the people that planted before you if you don't want to plant yourself. But can I tell you, you got to plant while you're wounded. You got to plant while you're discouraged. You got to plant while it doesn't feel good. You got to get fired and then plant anyway. I'm trying to tell you that when you're doing the right thing and you don't feel like it, that's a part of planting. I'm almost getting started. Here's why this is important. I'm telling you, I was hanging around a couple elders, and they let me hang around them, and they would let me talk, But it's not wise to talk. I mean, you can talk, but you're not going to say anything that's worth listening to. So I just listen to them. And they're talking about stuff, and sometimes it's spiritual stuff very clearly, and sometimes it's silly stuff, but you can hear the hand of God working in it. And I'm listening to this, and I'm just going, God, listen to these deep, wonderful elders and these great experiences. And then sometimes I'll just stop and tell a testimony, and they'll just share stuff, and it's just wonderful. It's amazing. The stories are amazing. And I get so excited. Even after all these years, I get so excited listening that it happens to me. I can't help it. It's my right leg. It starts there first. My right leg starts doing this, and it wants to dance. I get so excited about their testimony. I mean, I can preach about their testimony. I can dance about their testimony. I can go home happy just listening to their testimony. I love it. But I'm telling you, you're going to be challenged at some point to have your own testimony. I mean, you get inspired for people who are heartbroken and can still come to church and lift their hands. It's such an inspiring thing. I'm telling you, you got to get to a place where you're the one that's heartbroken and you can still come worship God. You've got, hey, somebody, you're in the middle of planting. What are you doing? You're setting a precedent in this house. In this house. This is what we do when we need God the most. I was reading a book. I'm just gonna have a good time with you. I'll fill it out and I'll wrap it up when it's right. I was in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, 20-something years old, full of energy, filled with faith, so excited about God and life, and I figured out why he sent me there, and so I was finally over my attitude a little bit, and I was reading a booklet by, I don't remember who published the booklet, but it was a booklet of miracles, and I think it was maybe Kenneth Hagin's group, and it was just these old-time Pentecostals, and they were talking about the miracles of God, and just one after the other. It was kind of like one of those daily breads, except for every single page was filled with stories of apostolic, God-ordained, just miracles and wonders. And the thing that challenged me is that the people who had written this, they weren't in full truth, but they had so much of the rest of it right. The Spirit of the Lord was moving upon them, and I was reading page after page, and I was being so inspired by it all. And then I said to myself and to God, I said, God, I love reading this stuff, but I want my own experience, God. Why can't I have this, God? I want to read about it, God. That's wonderful, but I want to have it. What I didn't realize I was asking for is I was asking God to remove me from just eating from vineyards and olive yards that other people had planted. What I was really asking him for without knowing it was, God, put me in a position where I'm actually the one having to plant. And when he did, I fuss and complain about it because that's not cool. It's ugly. It's messy. It's scary. God is less easy to find in those moments. I'm not at my strongest in those moments. I feel like I'm at my weakest. But somehow or another, when I am weak, somehow or another, he is indeed strong. And so it was not at a great height. It was really at a lower place. And God was saying, this is what it feels like to be on the planting side of it all. I'm swallowing comments that won't be helpful for this message. All right, they're all gone. So let me just say it. You know, you can come here and enjoy all this. Look around you. This is amazing. It's all amazing. But there are people that can come and enjoy all this and let God tell them to go plant a church, and suddenly they have no interest in that. I can say that with some authority because I planted one or two or three, actually, over this 20 years. I'm telling you, when it's time to do the planting, it's not fun. It's, well, some of y'all got quiet. It's way more fun to listen to somebody else's stories about Bible study than it is to go get your own and fight through the stuff of that. I'm just, that was free. All right, I go back to Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. You ease up then. So I'm in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, and I'm kind of praying slash complaining slash fussing. Does anybody else's prayer life sound like that? Couple of us, right, want to admit it. The rest of us don't want to admit it. And I was doing that to God. I said, God, why is it these people have this and I don't have this? And he said, because you haven't asked for it. And I thought, really? It's that simple? He said, yes. Now I was afraid. Because I thought, what's the catch? Ask for it and then what? Fast for 30 days. You know, something coming. So I was like, wait a second, God. Let me think about this for a minute. And it went a couple of days, and I thought about it. And I was sick and tired of reading those stories, flipping those pages, going, God, I want my own experience. He said, ask me for it. I said, God, I want to see you heal people. I want to see you heal the sick, Lord. As a matter of fact, God, I want you to put healing in my hands, faith in my heart. God, I want you to use my car as a healing station. So it took me some time. I didn't know how to operate in that gift or in that moment of my life. I mean, what do? Do you go find people who are sick and say, hey, come hang out with me? And so I did nothing, and eventually someone came to me, and it was something small. Maybe it was migraines, or maybe it was gout. It was something that was small, or at least it wasn't alarming to me. And I remember saying to my friend, you've got what? He said, migraines. I said, I know God, he can heal you. He says, what are you talking about? I said, I want to pray for you. I'm believing God will heal you. Now, this is scary, see? He says, how are we going to do this? I said, I asked God to make my car just kind of his healing station. So what I want you to do is you sit in the passenger seat, and I'll sit in the driver's seat, and I'm going to pray for you in the name of Jesus. And right there in that passenger seat, you can lift your hands and do whatever you want, and we'll lift the windows up, and no one will be able to hear. And I began to pray for him, and it was only a matter of moments. He said, I think I feel better. And I thought, do you feel better or don't you feel better? He says, no, I really do feel better. And so we praise God for that. And then the next person was having problem with diabetes, and I was like, come on to my car. And that person, I prayed for him. And I said, now check your blood sugar. And he checked it, and he checked it again. And the blood sugar got down to a place where it was controlled. And so he left. And then the next person, and probably 20 or 30 people came in that vehicle, and I prayed with them. God was saying, you didn't ask for it. You didn't ask for it. Why didn't I ask for it? It was so much easier reading it on a page in a book and saying, God, it was awesome what you did for them back then and back there. But what I was missing was my own testimony, and I didn't have it for myself. I thank God for your testimony. I really do. But I'm telling you, you've got to get your own testimony, and that hurts. That doesn't feel good. That means you're going to lose something. That means, oh, you're not hearing me. That means you're going to suffer. Amen. That means things might get turned upside down for a little while, but you're going to come into the house of the Lord, and you're going to give him praise anyway, and you're going to love him, and you're going to say, God, you're so worthy. 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 Lift your hands for 1 second, would you? Sikoratala mosota. Hikoramoshatayala mosik. God, every generation, God has to fight that fight for themselves. God, when they become the planters, God, and that statement is so general, so let me say it like this. Every individual has to come to that place, oh God, where they're doing the planting, Father, and they're planting vineyards that they themselves may never eat from. But oh God, one day another generation will, and I'm praying over people right now in this building, God, who have suffered for a little while, oh God, and they may not understand it, but I'm bringing them this word, God, that suffering, Lord, is their planting, God, and it may not be so much the suffering, it's how they respond. They're in the house of God. They've got their hands lifted to you, and Father, that's how vineyards are planted. I'm preaching to the planters right now. I know you don't feel good, planter. I know it hurts, planter. I know it's dark, planter, but that's what it feels like to plant. Come on, I need a few people. You may not realize you're planting, but maybe it's coming clear to you right now. Would you begin to just call out on the name of Jesus and don't resist that position of the planter, knowing that one day somebody's going to eat of a vineyard and an olive yard that you planted right here in Birmingham. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, take a few more moments. Here's what God sent me to tell you. Hang in there and make it, because there's another generation counting on you to plant it well. Plant it well. I'm telling you, they're coming, and they're going to come, and they're going to need that vineyard that you're planting right now. There's a generation that needs you not to quit. There's a generation that needs you not to take a few steps backward in your devotion. They need you to stand firm. They need you to be solid and consistent even when it hurts. Who's going to build the vineyards? Come on. Who's going to build the olive yards? How do I build it? How do I build it? You just don't quit. You don't give up. You don't back down when it hurts. I'm telling you, you fight your flesh. You fight the devil, and you do what it takes to stay connected to God and plugged into your church, and you don't give up, and you end up planting something beautiful. Come on, body of Christ. God, give understanding right now to some listener. Give understanding right now, Jesus. I pray for that person who thinks they're in a whirlwind, God, really God, they're in a season of planting. God, put something in them, God, that causes them not to waver to the left or to the right. I pray in the name of Jesus all throughout this house. Won't you stand with me and lift your voice? I need somebody to say, God, I'm going to plant even when it hurts. I'm going to plant even when I feel like I'm sitting in darkness. Come on, all throughout this house. Somebody cry out to God. It's going to make it easier for the planters to yield themselves to that calling for this hour. Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Several services ago, I was teaching, maybe I was preaching, and a couple times during my preaching, I heard the enemy speak to me. It was a voice of the devil, and I knew it was spiritual opposition. It didn't shake me the first couple times. The third time I was ticked off, but I wasn't shaken. And I stopped and I said to our church, you know, the voice of the enemy has spoken to me during this message, and this is what he said. He said, I hate you. Stop praying. I'll destroy you. And about 60% of our people said, whoa, start to pray. The other 40% just kind of cocked their head and went, he said that? You heard it that clearly? Now, they didn't say it, but that's the look they gave me. A week and a half later on a Wednesday night or something like that, it was definitely a Wednesday night, I was teaching and a man bust into the back of our church out of his mind. Our men were on him within seconds. He was physically not harming anyone, but his mouth was going off. And in this growl of a voice, he says, I hate you. Stop praying. I'm going to destroy you. And that other 40% woke up. And that didn't shake us either. For 6 months, and I'm not teasing, I'm not exaggerating. For 6 months, there was a spot of oil in our parking lot that was probably 12 inches in diameter from where those men had laid hands on him and anointed him over and over with oil. They just kind of baptized him in it, and he left in his right mind. I want to just say, I said all that to say that sometimes the enemy will speak to you, and it doesn't mean you're crazy, weird, or possessed, or any of that stuff. It just means that he's trying to get you to do something different than what God is doing. Don't let it shake you. Rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Put that thing in its spot. Put it in its place. I wasn't offended that the enemy was threatening me. I was offended that he was violating the word of God. I am nobody but God. How dare you offend the word of God? Now, I was upset about that. So the enemy will talk to you, and who I want to pray for in the next few moments are those people, and maybe the enemy has just said to you, quit. It's hard, and you may not even know that you're planting seed. You may not even know it, but it's hard. Maybe it's dark, and maybe it's painful, and maybe it's confusion. That doesn't make you bad. It doesn't make you sinful. It just means that you're in that place where a lot of other people have been, where they had to make a decision in that place. Rather not I plant, or rather not I walk away. And if you plant, one day it will grow, and people will eat of that vineyard that they didn't have to plant. So I'm planting tonight for these young girls. I'm planting for these young boys, and I'm planting for the babies in Christ that will come. I'm asking for some planters in the house. Maybe the last month or two or three or five or ten have just felt like they've been hell. Maybe it's been rough. Maybe it's been dark. Maybe you've had opposition at work. Maybe you've had opposition at home, and the devil said, just quit, but you didn't quit. I know you didn't quit because you're here, but you heard him say quit. If that's you, I want you just to come and hang out right here in the front, and we're going to pray for thee. God, this is planting right here. Planting is when I don't want to come to church, but I come anyway. Planting is when the devil tells me there's no hope, but I have hope anyway. Planting is when I don't feel like raising my hands because my heart is broken, but I raise my hands anyway because I'm setting a precedent in this house that's going to last for a very long time. Planting is when I can't stop the tears from rolling, but I'm still going to open my mouth and declare the glory of God and the goodness of God. I'm going to plant, I'm going to plant, I'm going to plant, because there's a generation that's coming after this one. And if the Lord shall tarry, they're going to want to walk in this house. And they're going to want to eat from vineyards that they didn't plant. But somebody's got to plant them. God, the people gathering are not at their strongest right now in their own self, but God, that's a perfect place for you. You specialize in that place, God, of woundedness. You specialize, God, in the gray areas of life, God. You specialize, God, in darkness, Father. When I sit in darkness, you said you'll be a light unto me, oh God. You specialize, Father, in discouragement. You specialize, God, in helping that one with their head hanging down, God, to somehow or another lift their head, God, unto the hill so they can see from whence cometh their strength, God. And you encourage us to plant. I praise him. I praise him. Because he's worthy. And if I can plant this praise, it might be 5 years down the road. It might be 10 years down the road. Somebody's going to stand at this altar in this very place. And they're going to receive from you. I'm planting seeds, God. Come on. Come on, my brother. You've been offended. Would you please use that moment to plant the seed?
To that secret place.
For every person who's been hurt. But they keep coming back to church. I pray for those who've been disappointed, but they keep coming back to church. They're planters. planting. They're planting. To stay on
that. In the secret.
I'm going to plant God some faithfulness.
Tie me to the pain. I just want to be with you. Make me like you, Jesus. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms.
Plant God with tears in my eyes. With tears in my eyes. I'm going to be faithful. I'm
going
to be faithful. Because one day, another generation. We'll stand in this place. Now receive from you. Because I was faithful.